Okay, so tonight's topic is cultivating the inner, like, wise friend. You could almost even call it wise inner parent through the Brahma Viharas. And I'll say more about what those are if you don't already know. But I thought maybe even before I start talking about the Brahma Viharas, I want to say that that mindfulness itself is also an incredible self-caring energy. It's very powerful form of tending for self and others. And I want to actually just share a quote. This comes from Thinley Norbu Rinpoche, a Tibetan Buddhist teacher. "My grandmother, mindfulness, must watch constantly after this child of deluded mind to save her from disaster." Or you can change the genders in any way you want. "My grandfather, mindfulness, must watch constantly after this child of deluded mind to save him from disaster." Because the mind is just on its own, as we know, if we've been practicing with it and bringing awareness to what it does, it doesn't have any bounds. It will just kind of go anywhere that the neurons fire. It doesn't have much integrity necessarily, unless we've really cultivated that. It'll offer up whatever it offers up. And but with mindfulness, we are not in any way obligated to be hooked in or have any identity around thoughts. We can just see them coming and going. And that is a true refuge, just that. In ancient Sri Lankan Buddhist text, the translation for the word mindfulness, the English translation, is non-abandonment, meaning a staying with what is, and that too, that non-abandonment, that staying with, that sort of unconditional acceptance and curiosity around what is in itself a very healing energy. There's been research in recent years around insecure attachment and mindfulness, where people who grew up with insecure attachment to caregivers, then as adults, thank God for neuroplasticity, as adults began practicing mindfulness. And actually that this practice of non-abandonment, of staying with what is in this non-judgmental way that is mindfulness, actually heals to some extent some of the injury that occurred when there wasn't a secure attachment made. Pretty incredible. There's a little poem by W.S. Merwin that kind of speaks to some of the magic of mindfulness itself and how it brings refuge and it brings wisdom with it. So this says, as they it's called The Present. As they were leaving the garden, one of the angels bent down to them and whispered, "I am to give you this as you're leaving the garden. I do not know what it is, or what it's for, or what you will do with it. You won't be able to keep it, but you won't be able to keep anything." Yet they both reached at once for the present, and when their hands met, they laughed. There's this quality of in the present moment, when we're here for it, when we're here for each moment, that when we're lost in thought, the present might not seem too interesting, but when we're here for it, it's magical. And it has this quality of like an inner friend or inner grandmother or grandfather. And that was the Buddha's first teaching, was really deeply inhabit the present. And then as he began teaching more, He began to bring in these teachings around the heart, cultivating the energy that's understood to be the energy of the heart, although really it's the heart, the mind, the body. It's really the whole thing, the nervous system. So I thought a very simple way to just begin talking about the Brahma Viharas is to read you some of the words of Thanissaro Bhikkhu, who's a very revered Buddhist scholar in the Theravadan tradition. He says, "The Brahma Viharas, or sublime attitudes, are the Buddha's primary heart teachings, the ones that connect most directly with our desire for true happiness. The term Brahma Vihara literally means dwelling place of Brahmas. Brahmas are gods who live in the higher heavens, dwelling in an attitude of unlimited goodwill, unlimited compassion, unlimited empathetic joy, and unlimited equanimity. These unlimited attitudes can be developed from the more limited versions of these emotions that we experience in the human heart. Of these four emotions, so loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, of the four, loving kindness or goodwill is the most fundamental. It's the wish for true happiness, a wish you can direct to yourself or others. Goodwill was the underlying motivation that led the Buddha to search for awakening and to teach the path to awakening to others after he'd found it. The next two emotions on the list are essentially applications of goodwill or metta or loving kindness. Compassion, or karuna is the Pali word. Compassion is what goodwill feels when it encounters suffering. It wants the suffering to stop. Empathetic joy, or mudita, is what goodwill feels when it encounters happiness. It wants the happiness to continue. Equanimity, or upekkha, is a different emotion in that it acts as an aid to and a check on the other three. When you encounter suffering that you can't stop, no matter how hard you try, you need equanimity to avoid creating additional suffering and to channel your energies to areas where you can be of help. In this way, equanimity isn't cold-hearted or indifferent. It simply makes your goodwill more focused and effective. So when we think about, you know, how would, if you had an inner wise friend, I don't know, whatever kind of language works for you, an inner wise friend or an inner grandparent or parent, how ideally would this being behave? And I posit that they would behave with mindfulness, loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity. And what's so awesome is that we can cultivate that, and the Buddha taught this, cultivating these energies from within, so that we have that. We have that inner wise friend speaking to us from the inside and available to us to offer outward. It's really neat that, you know, when we think about what are the, so, you know, here, Thanissaro Bhikkhu saying that the primary heart teachings that connect most directly with our desire for true happiness, we've been conditioned so much to think that happiness comes from gathering or gaining things. But really, when you think about what are the energies that support our deep well-being, it's these energies of friendliness, kindness, care, compassionate action, joy, appreciation and gratitude, and the capacity to stay grounded and balanced rather than getting knocked off by reactivity. These energies are really, really key to happiness. and we can cultivate them. I'm in a little sangha for teachers, for Buddhist teachers that meets once a month, and we met at the beginning of the month, and we just met last Monday. And we are working with impermanence and the five reflections taught by the Buddha. And so last Monday we were working on aging and thinking about what will it be like when, if and when we're so old that we need care, and we, don't have what we had in our bodies or minds when we were younger, and feeling into the feelings of that, but also invited to consider what are the blessings of these times of great age. And one of the people there said one of the blessings that she was really thinking about when she was thinking about the blessings of great age was the blessing of neuroplasticity, that we can keep on evolving. We can keep on evolving right until the very end. I have a student who has a grandmother. The student lives in Seattle, and the grandmother lives in Los Angeles, and she's been visiting a lot. This grandmother is 112 years old. 112 years old and doing fine and still learning, still growing. And we can do that. No matter how deeply habituated some of our old ways are, where we get distracted or we have an inner critic or, we get reactive or we get angry, those habits can be fairly deeply grooved in for sure. But they don't have the last word. They don't have to. We can cultivate these energies, and over time, they can become more and more deeply integrated into who we are and how we are in the world. And it can really bring so much ease. So what I'd like to do is read you a little description of each of the four Brahmaviharas. And as I'm reading, imagine that these energies are already within you, or that you're being held or offered these energies by someone or something, either a person or energy or whatever. And just see how they feel. Imagine that they're there around you, and just let them land a little bit if you don't mind. Okay, so beginning with metta or loving kindness, the wish for true happiness, a gentle befriending can be directed at self or others, offers full-heartedness, generates well-being. Manifests as the removal of annoyance. The proximate cause is seeing the lovableness of beings, really seeing their good qualities. Loving kindness succeeds when it causes ill will to subside towards self and or others. Loving kindness is offering, to whatever extent possible, wishes for well-being and wishes that people be free of the causes of suffering. So, as we consider this energy of loving kindness, we can think of it as we send it in towards ourselves. This energy of friendliness, of seeing the good, wishing for well-being. And we can imagine also sending it out to others. This is a poem from Lisa Starr, Being Inhabited by Loving Kindness or Metta. It's called Because. Lately, she's been falling in love everywhere. At the market, in the pharmacy, always in the cafeteria, sliding her tray over the metal rails. Last week, with the hands of the attendant at the gas station. Sometimes it happens all day long. Yesterday at the campus, it was everything again. The way the postmaster was whistling, or how the frisbee players sing the quad. The way some students stay after class, that usually gets her. Cashiers, people who sing at stoplights, all fair game. Cab drivers, forget it. With ice cream scoopers, with their little paper hats, it is often love at first sight. And she'll never forget how at the sandwich shop, the young man working said, "Anything to drink, miss?" to the 80-year-old woman in front of her. And then when it was her turn, said ma'am instead. Later today, blessed by all this loving, she'll make some tea and play a violin concerto for her dog, who is deaf. She'll play the music as loud as it will go, because she can, and because somehow he'll hear it, and he'll stand on the porch of the fine yellow house, glowing. She will be all choked up, because the lawn chairs have never been this green before, and because, tired ears flapping in a soft autumn breeze, the old dog will bark back his joy. This energy of friendliness, of warmth, of love, of loving kindness, of appreciation, of seeing the good, we can cultivate it. And we can even cultivate it for ourselves. Imagine that it's all around you, you're the recipient of it, and that it's also inside you. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it's lovely, until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. Metta, loving kindness, is a very big energy, very beautiful, very healing. So that's loving kindness. And then moving on to Karuna, or compassion. What goodwill feels like when it encounters suffering. It wants the suffering to stop. Again, imagining there's a being or an energy that feels this way towards you in any stress or difficulty or challenge that you have been through or are in right now. Goodwill encountering suffering, wanting the suffering to stop. Compassion offers tenderness and courage. Characterized as the wish to help alleviate suffering. It motivates the desire to help. Does not allow complacency in the face of suffering. One is moved to action. Manifests as non-cruelty. Proximate cause is aware of pain or helplessness. Compassion fails when it creates a stuck sorrow and succeeds when it creates action. Empathy and kind response to pain. I'm just imagining that energy coming to you and also coming through you. There's so much meaning and courage and even satisfaction. Amanda Gorman, the young poet who spoke at President Biden's inaugural address, has a poem called Compass, and one of the lines in the poem says, "Lost as we feel, there is no better compass than compassion." And when I shared that with someone recently, they said, "Oh, that's so cool that compass is the first seven letters, or so, however many letters it is, yeah, of compassion." Compassion is a reliable guide, a reliable GPS in this world. Without it, you know, it's so harsh, because we all experience suffering and struggle and difficulty, and compassion is the energy that meets it, the non-abandonment, with love and action. Whether that's just a hand at the heart or a whole series of actions to alleviate suffering. That's compassion. Loving kindness, compassion, and then the third Brahma Vihara is called mudita in Pali, or appreciative joy. Gratitude and joy, appreciating the joy that's in the world, the joy of other beings, the beauty. Appreciative joy for the good things that other beings carry, and gratitude for our own blessings. Delight in others' happiness and delight in our own. This energy is what metta, or loving kindness, feels like when it encounters happiness. And again, imagining this energy coming at you when you're feeling happy and joyful, being held with appreciative delight. And then imagine that coming through you, or being within you, the capacity to hold, recognize, first of all, and then hold your own blessings, your own peace, peaceful moments, your own, good things, all the good things, with awareness and joy, replenishing and restoring with joy. What goodwill feels like when it encounters happiness, it wants the happiness to continue. Of course. Of course it does. That's what friendliness wants. It wants to ease your suffering, and it wants your happiness to deepen and widen. Offers gladness. Manifests as non-aversion. So in other words, we're not separating from our own joy or the joy of others. We're just really ensconced in it. Proximate cause, seeing the success and the happiness and the goodness in self, in others, and in the world. Succeeds when it creates an ease of heart or acceptance. Noticing and celebrating the good deepens and replenishes. It's said that joy or appreciative joy are the antidote or remedy to compassion fatigue. So when our compassion is just kind of feeling at the bottom of the gas tank, the answer isn't to try to push out more compassion, but to take some time and really replenish with what you love. Not to put the things you love or that give you joy to the bottom of your to-do list, but understand that that joy and appreciation are really important, really necessary parts of a resilient life. Discovering what you love and putting those things in your days. Loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy. And then the last one is equanimity. So it's very often a synonym that's very often used for equanimity is balance. Learning this fine art of being in the midst of life as it is, being able to discern where we can take action and discern where we can't. And then if there's a place where we were encountering something that we can't change, learning to let go. And then turn our attention to where we can create change. So often we lose our sense of balance because we're so distressed in response to something that we can't change. Or maybe there is something, another way we lose our balance is that there is something we could do to make a change, but we're not doing it. You know, we're preferring distraction and denial, and that actually doesn't support our well-being. Equanimity is this almost like the capacity to discern, where do I let go? Where do I take action? And with that capacity to discern, there can be a sense of groundedness in what is, allowing life to be what it is. And this is the way things are right now, or things are as they are. So balance or discerned letting go. Equanimity offers ease, which is precious. As you know, if you've been pummeled, you know, not only by life, but by your inner reactivity to life, ease is precious, and that's what equanimity offers. Its function is to maintain a steadiness of mind. Again, as I'm reading, imagine being held by this kind of calm, cool energy. Not indifferent, not uncaring, very present, but not reactive. Proximate cause is understanding the impersonal or non-personal nature of cause and effect. The Buddha taught that there are three fundamental characteristics of all conditioned phenomena, meaning everything we see and feel and everything we perceive. And they are that all things are impermanent. They come and then they go. Everything passes, is born, has sustained for a while, and then moves on. Really helpful to know when you're in a difficult time. Remind yourself. Everything is impersonal. Meaning there's cause and effect here. We tend to take things personally, which again will kick us out of equanimity if we learn that it's really not so much about us. There's a wild web of different causes and impacts. And we begin to look for those non-personal sort of unfoldings of things. We can rest more with things as they are. So everything is impermanent, impersonal, and everything's imperfect. Making peace with imperfection rather than letting our imagination, our dream, and the myth of perfection keep us dissatisfied with reality. More coming into acceptance of reality, just how it is, just how it is. Kind of appreciating the miracle of it and, you know, letting our hearts break with the sorrow of it, but somehow staying grounded in the middle of it all while we're here. Equanimity. So it succeeds when we can be aware of life unfolding and the mind moving, but we're sustaining evenness and clarity. So we're not hiding away somewhere. We're in life, but we're sustaining evenness and clarity. Fails when it causes indifference. We want to still be engaged with life as we practice equanimity. And just to say again, what Thanissaro Bhikkhu said about equanimity, important to remember, when you encounter suffering that you cannot stop, no matter how hard you try, you need equanimity to avoid creating additional suffering and to channel your energies to areas where you can be of help. Think the serenity prayer, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That wisdom is equanimity. So you can see these beautiful energies of loving kindness and compassion and appreciative joy and equanimity. If we had a guiding friend, a wise friend who embodied all of these characteristics, how fortunate we would be. And the good news is, as I was saying before, is that we can cultivate these energies within ourselves, and then we do have that wise friend. That wise friend simply lives within. And then we also can more and more, because of imperfection, not always at all, but more and more be that wise friend for others. And generating that energy of, of happiness. The heart qualities are the main through line to happiness. Okay, so I want to say now that we've talked about and felt into the Brahmaviharas a little bit, the way that they are practiced. Now, it's one thing to, one wonderful thing to say, to think about these together. And it's another thing to actually practice them. And really, we need to then invoke determination in order to think, do I feel willing? Do I feel called to practice these? Because it's really through practice, and for mindfulness too, it's really through practice that they become integrated into our internal reality and make the kind of have the kind of impact that they might have. So the way that they're practiced in Buddhist tradition is through phrase practice. And so if you were doing a formal practice with the Brahmaviharas, you would sit probably or lie down or whatever is comfortable for you, and then intentionally say phrases that invoke these energies. And there are traditional phrases. So for loving kindness, the traditional phrases are, may I be safe, may I be peaceful, may I be as healthy as possible, and may I live with ease. And we can offer them to ourselves and to others. And I'm actually gonna I'll actually lead us in some of this in a minute, but I just want to go over sort of the overall thing first. And then with compassion, the traditional phrases are along the lines of, May you be free of suffering and the roots of suffering. Or may your suffering be eased. May you find ease in your heart. I care about this pain. By this caring, may this pain be eased. The traditional phrases for appreciative joy: may your happiness and good fortune continue. Or may you enjoy happiness and abundance. I appreciate the blessings in your life. Or I'm happy that you're happy. And then the traditional phrases for equanimity. There is one traditional phrase for equanimity, and it is, you are the heir to, heir spelled H-E-I-R, so meaning owner of. You are heir to your actions. Your happiness and unhappiness depend more upon your actions than not so much on my wishes for you. You are heir to your karma. Your happiness and unhappiness depend on your actions, not so much on my wishes for you. And that's the traditional one that allows us to unhook or let go when our equanimity has been kicked out of our reality because of someone else's behavior or stress or suffering. But then others that are more about life in general are things like, things are just as they are. May I accept things just as they are. Self as I am, things as they are. Yeah, so those are the kinds of phrases that people do. And typically we don't take on all the Brahma Viharas at once. We pick one that we want to work with. And so I'll lead us through a little bit of each of the four Brahma Viharas. And as we do this, you can think, does any of this land? Is any of this something that I think would benefit me in making a daily practice for some period of time? Okay, and so the phrases that I would like to use with you tonight are actually constructed by a wonderful Buddhist teacher named Christina Feldman. Okay. So, again, sitting comfortably. Starting with loving kindness. So, first of all, starting with mindfulness and connecting once again awareness with the fact that you have a body. And if there's any adjustment you can make to become more comfortable, do that. And just having a sense of sort of the aspiration to cultivate this energy of friendliness, warmth of care, befriending. First, maybe bring to mind a being who naturally makes you smile. So this could be a friend or a relative or a pet. See a being that comes to mind. And then, if possible, create a visual image of this being or a felt sense. Enjoy their company, and even if you wish, you can tune into the area around your heart and notice the energy there. And imagine just really wishing and sending them goodwill. Wishing for them and sending to them goodwill. I'll say these phrases and you can let them flow through, or you can repeat them and imagine then sending them to this being. May you be safe and well. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease and kindness. May you be safe and well. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease and kindness. Okay, now letting go of the visual image, you can thank this being. Bring your mindfulness back to the sense of the body here in the present moment. And just, you know, you can notice you may be carrying stress. This is common. Human bodies carry stress and difficulty. This, I mean, more than common, it's universal. And offering yourself friendliness just as you are. If you like, you can bring a hand to heart or belly or another supportive place. May I be safe and well in the midst of this. May I be peaceful in the midst of this. May I live with ease and kindness in the midst of this. May I be safe and well in the midst of this. May I be peaceful in the midst of this. May I live with ease and kindness in the midst of this. Okay, and now bringing to mind a being who is in struggle right now. This could be a being known to you or not known to you, but somebody who is having a challenge, a difficulty that you'd like to send some compassion to, practice with for sending compassion. Again, creating a visual image of the being or a felt sense. And as I say these compassion phrases, you can silently repeat them, imagine sending them these wishes of care from your heart. May you find peace. May you be safe. May you be touched with kindness. May you find healing. May you find peace. May you be free from sorrow. And again, letting go of the image, bringing your awareness to your body here in the present moment. If you like, bringing a hand to heart or another supportive place. Offering the compassion inward for whatever measure of difficulty, sorrow, or stress you're carrying. And remember, you're not alone with this. This is the human condition. Practicing offering this beautiful and sacred energy inward. May I find healing in the midst of this. May I find peace in the midst of this. May I find healing. May I find peace in this moment. May I rest in care and compassion. And one more time, we're going to move into mudita, appreciative joy. One more time, bringing to mind a being. Now, this time, see if you can bring to mind a being who delights you. So, this again, I think of animals, first of all, when I think of being delighted, you know. So, this could be a bird. There's been a lot of birds because of the time of year, or a pet, or it could be a child or a friend or someone you admire, you know, an author or writer or something, speaker, teacher. Someone that you enjoy or find some, you know, just a bit of a lift just thinking of the being. And again, if you don't know anyone personally, you can just imagine. You know, like if you've seen a nature show and there was an animal you liked, the koala. So, if you've got a being, again, create a visual image or a felt sense. Offering these phrases. How wonderful you are in your being. I delight you are here. I take joy in your good fortune. May your happiness continue. Okay, now I want to invite us all to practice offering this same energy in toward ourselves. We deserve this. Just practice, even if it's just acting as if, just practice. How wonderful I am in my being. I delight I am here. I take joy in my good fortune. May my happiness continue. Okay, and for our last one. Equanimity. We're gonna Just say the phrases towards life. These are from Christina Feldman, and I'm actually just going to read you what she says briefly right before we do these last phrases. Again, just inhabiting your present moment experience, feeling body, breath. In the midst of a life with its 10,000 joys and sorrows, we can simply attend to how we're present just now. Allow the body to come to stillness and the mind to settle, attending to the life of this moment, however it is. In the midst of the lovely, in the midst of the difficult, we make our home in our capacity to embrace, include, and care for the well-being of our hearts. May I embrace change with stillness and calm. May I deeply accept this moment as it is. May my home be a home of balance and spaciousness. May I deeply accept this moment as it is. Thank you. So any questions or comments? How did that land for you? Are there any of the practices that you might take home or try? The phrases that I used came from Christina Feldman's book, Boundless Heart. This is a wonderful book, and I highly recommend it, and the phrases are all in there. And as you saw, there are many different ways, and you can adapt the phrases. The idea of them is that you adapt them so that they resonate for you. Finding what helps you to cultivate these energies. Yeah. Okay, well, oh yeah, filled up.
I think when the recording of this Zoom meeting comes out, it would be a nice meditation to just play what you were saying and thinking of it again.
Yeah.
I'm promoting listening to the recordings.
Thank you. Yeah, just scroll to the end and there it will be. Thanks, Phil.
Sure.
Okay, well, I am going to close with a sung dedication of merit, but I like if you would like to sing along with me. So here are the lyrics. This, in the Vipassana tradition, when we dedicate the merit, we say something along the lines of, may the merit of this practice be for the benefit of all beings. This is the Pure Land version, wordier, beautiful, that Reverend Hung Shur, the abbot of the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery, translated into the English and put to a Lorena McKenna tune.
Mm-hmm.
May every living being, our minds as one and radiant with light, share the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity, may our minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave our grief and pain. May this boundless light meet the darkness of our sacred night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise. All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.